bless them, Father God. May thou the providers, Lord God. May thou the spiritual and the natural, the strong men of the houses, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you really provide wisdom for them. Lord, when they have to make decisions and everything, Lord God, that your hand will be with them, Father God. That they will be the head and not the tail, Father God. Lord, I just pray the blood of Jesus Christ over them, Father God. Yeah, Lord God, that you give them sound minds and rest, Father God, where they work hard and yoke, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that there's also a place of rest for them, Father God. This morning we just ask, Lord God, that you bless them, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Okay, guys, welcome to all of those visiting. I see there's a few empty old faces from guys studying in South Africa who's visiting. Sister sitting over there, and you guys, it's really nice to have you again here with us. We are actually missing the school kids this morning. I know it's an out weekend for the school, so they won't be here. I really have grown so, you know, usually they sit here and have to see all those happy faces. I really miss them when they aren't here. But it's also very nice to have you guys here. That, oh, yeah. Okay, last week, for those of you who weren't here, we talked about really facing that storm and seeing that storm. I don't know, maybe just by a show of hands, is there any one of you who's still battling with a storm in your life? Just two, three people who didn't listen last week. Okay, the rest of you, I'm very glad. No, that was just a small joke. But I'm really glad if you really work out with God a few things. What we talked about last week is, you know, Martha, you're back. Martha, you must stand up. Stand up quickly. Can everyone clap hands for Martha? Martha was away in Sweden for I think about 5 months, 6 months. Martha, it's really nice to have you back. Shepherd must know his sheep, so I'm knowing my sheep this morning. It's really great to have you back. And we talked about the storms, you know, and we talked about how Paul was in the storm and how Jesus was with the disciples in the boat, and we said about, you know, so how many times we look at the size of the waves and then we talk to each other and we just make it bigger than it actually is. But the end that we came to is that Jesus really wants us just to focus on Him. You know, not to, at this stage, God is saying to us not to fight the storm, not to, you know, get yourself exhausted praying against that, but just to get into the boat of Jesus and really focus on Him, and He will calm our storm. Now, I went back to my notes of last week, and I ended off with, do not try to fight the storm itself at this stage. You know, we will get tired. And we should know that God is in control. You know, He's the Father, He's our God. We worship Him this morning. And, you know, just from that place of worshiping Him for who He is, we can know that God is for us and not against us. And as His thoughts towards us is good. Now, the important thing is this morning, I really felt that we should share something, you know, on rest. And that's why the title of the sermon is something about rest. Now, I want to ask a few of you guys, what is rest? What is rest? You can just quickly say maybe a one-liner or two-liners. What is rest? If you're not going to answer, I'm going to ask someone. So what would you guys say, what is rest? What is rest about? Sondagmiddag slapen, that's a good one. Michael, what's rest? Peace. Okay. One or two more. Morris?
Rest in knowing that you don't have to work
that hard. I like that. Maybe you can come stand here this morning. I like that. Okay. I went to my old friend, the Chambers Dictionary, and look what they said. Now, there's two different meanings, if you can put it that way. The one is the physical rest. You know, some people call it siesta, or to sleep, or really to nap, or lay down. You know, we all need rest, and that's the Sunday afternoon rest that Paul talked about, which is really nice. But there's also other rest that I refer to, and that's to take a break, or pause, breathing space, a recess, holiday, time off, halt. You know, those type of words that I think all of us is really looking forward to, maybe at the end of the first semester of the year. Some of you have worked hard. I think most of us have worked hard. And we are looking forward to a bit of rest, a recess, or a halt. You know, just to have a bit of breathing space again and, you know, take stock of our families and what is going on. So that's always something we're looking forward to. I know those of you Job, the students in the house, they've got a long rest now. How many weeks? 7. Oh, that's almost similar. Yeah. It's really nice to have that type of rest. But in Scripture, we all also can find a place of rest. Now, I want to ask this morning, you know, we talked last week about storms in our lives, and you know, many guys in Scripture, we could see Paul said he was shipwrecked and went through physical storms, but we go through all types of storms in our lives. But is there a place of rest amidst of those type of storms? You know, we said to each other that, you know, I asked last week for those of you who weren't here, who's feeling that currently they're facing a storm in their lives? And a lot of people put up their hands, and when we look back in our lives, you know, there's a lot of storms that we have faced, and I think there will definitely be more. But is there a place of rest for all of us amidst of these storms? And that's what I want us to look at this morning. And the first scripture I want to read to you this morning is from Genesis 2, verse 2 to 3. And it says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." Now, the thing that we should see from up there is that God rested. Some translation says that God ceased, you know. He didn't create afterwards for them that specific time. He didn't create it anymore. You know, so he rested. So first, you know, not to go too deep into this, but there was, if God rested, if he ceased, if he paused for a while, you know, then all of us could do the same. You know, just looking in the natural, all of us go to bed at night, it's dark, we sleep. Some of us sleep a bit more than others, or like to sleep a bit more. And I mean, every morning, for those of us, I can see it's a lot of people with small kiddies or babies. You know, when it's cold, especially this time of the year, and the baby's crying, and you have to stand up or wake up, or maybe if the alarm goes off and you have to go to work, you know, then you want to sleep a bit more. You feel that your body needs a bit more rest. Now, one thing I discovered the past 3 years with 3 small kids is that we can actually cope with a lot less rest than you think. You know, when I was 20 years old, I probably would have thought I'd die sleeping as little as I did with the twins. And now there's some other guys with twins in the house, and you will know what we're talking about. But the important thing is we do need rest. God designed it that way. I think it is for a very good purpose that it's night. At night time, it's dark, and that's when we go to bed and then we sleep. But also in our bodies, and I've got also always a trouble pronouncing how would we say psychological? Maybe one of you guys can help me. But sometimes we need to switch off our minds as well sometimes. You know, I love it when I'm driving somewhere in Namibia, because usually the roads aren't too busy, it's beautiful outside, and maybe you can just listen to a DVD, to a CD or something in your car, and you can unwind a bit. You know, you can really just drive and, you know, enjoy it, and in a sense you can get a bit of rest for yourself as well, because we need that as well. And the thing that I want to encourage you on is, it's really a godly thing to work hard, but it's also important to rest sometimes and not to feel guilty. And I'm talking now about taking a day off during the week, maybe 2 days, or sometime during the year we all get some leave. To use that and not feel guilty about that. Now, the other thing is, just referring to Genesis, God obviously in his awesome bigness, in his prophetic foreknowledge, God must have known that, you know, we will need rest. And that is why this is where the Sabbath actually comes from. But the thing that I want you guys to know is in this, there's not a command that says that we should keep the Sabbath. I want to go on, you know, God blessed it. And if you go and read scripture from Adam to Moses, which is about 2,500 years, there's no evidence that anyone kept the Sabbath. It's only in Exodus 16 and 20 where we read for the first time about the Sabbath. And I want to read you from Exodus 16, verse 22. "And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all the remains to be kept until tomorrow. Now, the Sabbath that we're talking about here, I want us this morning just to look a bit at the Sabbath and of this place of rest and how things fit together. This was a covenant between God and the children of Israel. There was a very special, and it still is, God chose Israel as his nation through him, through whom he could work. And there was the covenant relationship. And you know, the Sabbath was a sign of the covenant relationship inaugurated at Mount Sinai. And this is this place in Scripture where we're talking about. And that was between, it's important that you see this morning, between God and the nation of Israel. Now, this morning, if I were to ask you guys, you know, I'm not going back and I'm going to read all those, let's say, all the laws of what you're supposed to do on Sabbath, what you can't, how far you may walk, if you can heal someone. There's a lot of rules and stuff. But if I were to ask you guys, who knows off by heart those rules and regulations? Is there any one of you who know all of them? Not one of them. Okay. No, but that's exactly the point, you know. We don't have to keep that Sabbath anymore because we aren't under that thing that God instituted between you and Israel. We are under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, you know. And Jesus Christ never said that we should keep the Sabbath in that way where there's, you can't walk, I'm not sure exactly, but so many places, or there's certain things that if the roof of a house were to fall in, you know, depending on how seriously people were injured, you might help them or not. It was really tough. And we're going to look a bit just now, because why were the Jews so, how would I say, they were in such a place they didn't want to break those rules? Because there's a very good reason, because they learned the hard way. Let's read from Exodus 31, verse 16 to 17. Exodus 31, from verse 16 to 17. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath through their generations as perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testament, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Now that's the important thing. It's the Jews that should keep the Sabbath in that way. That was the Mosaic covenant between God and his people. And as I said, that was, remember that God set the Jews apart from the rest of the people. That doesn't mean we're less important or anything, but that was really something between God and the Jews. Now I said, why were the Jews so serious about this? If we go and we read in 2 Chronicles 36, 2 Chronicles 36 from verse 20, or maybe let's make it from verse 19. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its places with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed the Sabbath, as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now what happened here was, you know, let's take it a bit back. You know, we will see that the nation of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. Now remember, that means they worked 24/7, 365, every day. They weren't human rights, they weren't public holidays, they weren't Father's Days, they weren't school holidays or things like that. That's the type of things that we are used to. But remember, for slaves, they just worked. They didn't know anything about rest. Then God came, as we just read previously, and he said he's going to give the Sabbath rest. You know, and remember the Sabbath that they talked about wasn't Sunday as we know it today. That was between sunset on a Friday and sunset on a Saturday. You know, that was the Sabbath that the people had to rest. Now, if you were one of those slaves in Egypt and you were whipped every day and screamed on and all those type of things, and God come and say, you're going to have a Sabbath day, I'm sure most of us will really enjoy that. That's really something to look forward to. But God said, something that they had to do. Now that's where the problem comes. If we read this part of scripture at the end of 2 Chronicles, then the nation of Israel, you know all the stories through the desert, they weren't obedient to God. They didn't keep the Sabbath. And remember, every seventh year was supposed to be a Sabbath year. You know, then they weren't supposed to plant and to sow at certain places. And that was really a good principle to give rest to the plants. If you know, we live in a country with lots of farmers, sheep farmers, and in the north, why they're sowing, then you'll know that you can't just plant and sow and reap and plant and reap on the same ground, or you can't keep all your sheep in one camp the whole year. You have to move it a bit, you know, that piece of land can get also a bit of rest. And that's the thing that God is saying to us through the Sabbath. He wants us to have a place of rest. Now the Jews went, and they really, and they also actually had, if you can read, lots of ways to get behind or get past the laws that they make. For instance, in Acts they talk of about a Sabbath day's journey. I think that was 1,999 paces. You see, now what the rabbi would have done, he would have, now that was as far as you were allowed to walk on one day. Now if, now say he walked this part, but previously he would have spoken to one of his disciples. And then the disciple would have went before the rabbi, and he would have, because they couldn't break the law, you know, they were really serious about this. And then he would have put a piece of clothing, say a jacket hanging there on a tree. And then he was walking, then actually, oh, this is my jacket. And because the jacket is something like home, then he could get another 1,999 paces that he could walk. Because sometimes they actually also had to travel. Now the thing that I want you guys to see from this is God is more interested in our relationship with him and loving us than in rituals, you know, than in keeping, you know, just walking so many places. Or as I said, there's so many small things that you may have done and may not have done, but I don't want us this morning to really go into that. And it's important to know that just when we talk about that, God is a good God. His thoughts towards us as we worship, you know, is good. He didn't bring the Sabbath to be a burden or a yoke or anything. Now, I'm sure that a lot of you guys would have experienced when you were young that on a Sunday afternoon, between, say, 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock, that was a burden sometimes, because you weren't allowed to speak or almost to make noise or to fight with your sister. Who in the house got to hide you because of making noise when your father and mother wanted to sleep? Okay, there's quite a few of you guys. And you see, that we grew up, and Sundays weren't fun. You couldn't go and play with your friends on a Sunday afternoon. The whole house had to rest and to sleep. And especially the older generations, I think they were a lot more hard. I remember my father, you know, talking about these things when they were young. You know, that was bad. You know, they really, the rod still ruled. So if you were to break those Sabbath rules, you were really in trouble. But that's not the heart of God. It's really God knew what we needed. You know, when we talk about his rest and Sabbath, you know, it's not reflecting on who God is, that God needed rest. God didn't need rest or anything, but God knew that we would need rest. And I'm sure that a lot of you guys this morning will know that when you were young and you worked and studied, I know that some of you guys are doing that, or whether there's certain times that you just work, and you then, you know, slow down sometimes and just rest. And how do you feel after, say, a few weeks or months or just going on like that? You come to a place where you really feel like you lost your oomph now, if I can put it that way. You feel like now you just came to the end of yourself. And that is why God really, I can see some people acknowledging what I'm saying. But it's really, that's not what God wants for us. Okay, so let's go on. And other things is, you know, I'm going to get to the New Testament examples right now. But you see, what I want to do is make a comparison this morning between the Sabbath as the Jews knew it, especially of the Old Testament, and the way we know it today. Now, I'm actually working today, but it's a Sunday. So, a few years ago, a lot of people would say, but that's sin. Now, I don't see my work as a work, it's more calling, so I do it because I like it in that sense. But you know, I actually do get a salary. So, I'm actually working on a Sunday. that should actually be forbidden if you were to think of the Sabbath as it is in the old days. Now let's go on and let's read from Mark 2, verse 27 to 28. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." I'm going to read that first part again. And he said to them, that's how the Pharisees, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Now the important thing is, that's exactly what I said just now. God made the Sabbath for man, not other way around. Because the rabbis, a lot of the rabbis from the Jews, and I think it might be still similar today, they really thought that, you know, man was made for the Sabbath. You know, you were made to observe the Sabbath. And I think a lot of us, using that previous example of mine, felt that on a Sunday afternoon, that was bad time. God kind of wanted to spoil your fun, or your father or mother wanted to spoil that fun. Now being a parent myself, I know that's not the case. It's just mom and dad wanted some rest. You know, because a Sunday afternoon is that time that we rest. And when brother and sister are kicking and screaming and breaking the window, things aren't going to work either for dad to rest or for the youngsters to have fun. But the Sabbath was made for man because man needs some rest. And Jesus is the Son of Man. So what Jesus is saying here, I will tell you how the Sabbath works. Not how you think it is supposed to be. Jesus is the Son of Man, and you will tell us how these things work. Jesus actually threw a lot of examples in the New Testament, because you must get the background of this. You know, whenever Jesus and his disciples were doing something, and the Pharisees almost caught him out, you know, they just wanted to have an example or a situation where they can accuse Jesus of doing something wrong. But Jesus actually showed how absurd this was, teaching that the Sabbath was God's loving provision for us for rest and for worship. And that's the important thing. That's the thing that we should understand. And I want to put this almost in the context of the storms we're talking about. Maybe your storm is relational, maybe it's in your marriage, your finances, your kids, your family, at work. There's so many places that we can feel we are facing that storm, the waves are coming at us, whatever it is. And as I said last week, remember that when you keep your eyes on Jesus, the thing that the devil wants to do is he wants to be distracted. So I really want my heart this morning of what I want to talk about is really that we should know that we do live in a broken world. There will be storms, but that we can actually find a place of rest in between the storm. That we shouldn't, as I get an Afrikaans can say, that we shouldn't have to go to the I was just saying that, you know, that we shouldn't run around like headless chickens, you know. That's why that scripture we read last week that says that we should have the mind of Christ, that we should have the sound mind. God wants us to make good decisions. And you know, when you're running like a headless chicken, then the chances that you'll make a wrong decision is very good. Okay. And then I want to go on, I want to read from Matthew 12, verse 1 to 8. Let me see. Okay, it's up there. Okay, Matthew 12, from verse 1 to 8. And the reading there says, "Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.'" Now there's another scripture referring to that it says you are actually allowed to take some grain from a neighbor. You know that there is a scripture that's actually saying that. But the Pharisees didn't have a problem with the disciples picking some grain. They had a problem with them taking some grain on the Sabbath. Now if you can see this picture, if you have to visually look at it, they must have been there, seeing what Jesus and his disciples are doing, and they must almost say, "Ah, caught you, now we've got you, because this isn't, you aren't allowed to do this." And then Jesus responded, but he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the show bread, which was not lawful for him to eat. Now for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. That's important to notice that part. And are blameless. Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. And Jesus is referring to himself, the one. But if you had to know what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. And you see, that's the important thing. They should know that from the Old Testament, King David, he and his men actually went into the temple and they were hungry and they ate and they were blameless. Now, David is the lesser one and Jesus is the greater one. Now, if the lesser weren't condemned, so the greater also wouldn't be condemned. So that's something to really to understand. And the other thing is, as I said, you should know this in the context. Remember, sometimes we are very harsh on the Pharisees because they wanted, you know, at the end of the day, they always plotted against Jesus. They always schemed and tried to put him out. But remember, they didn't have the revelation of what all of Scripture actually knew. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were actually at a place because, remember, all the Israelites, the nation of Israel, they were taken into captivity. Thank you, enemy, that thing. They were taken into that. And Scripture says the old men or the young ladies, those who weren't killed with the sword, they were taken into captivity. And afterwards, you know, and that was because of they didn't keep the Sabbath. Now the important thing is, they were really scared. You know, they didn't want to break these rules or laws again and get to that same place because that was a very bad place. And the other thing is, the disciples, you know, as I said, God is more interested in us than in a lot of rules and regulations. And that is why, you know, the disciples were hungry. Their hearts weren't to steal or something or to destroy the person's fields where they walked through. They were hungry, you see. And then, let me just get here. Okay, then I want to go on and I want us to read from Hebrews 4, verse 9 to 11. Okay, maybe what I should just say, after this incident happened, you know, Jesus actually went on, maybe I should read it, because it's actually quite significant. Jesus actually went on and he healed someone. Now, I just quickly want to read that part to you in Matthew. The next from verse 9 onwards, I just want to read the little part to you there as well. And it says, healing on the Sabbath. Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath that they might accuse him? So there again, you can see the hearts of the Pharisees, what they actually want to do, they want to accuse Jesus. Then he said to them, what man is there among you? Who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it up? How much more value then? Sorry, let me repeat it again. Verse 12. Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then Jesus is looking at it. But the important thing is to see the heart. You know, they were trying to quote Jesus almost to make an accusation against him. And Jesus is saying, how much more important is a man than a sheep? You know, because he wasn't supposed, you know, actually to rescue maybe an animal on that day, depending on what the rules and the regulations were. But Jesus said, man is more important than a sheep. You know, and it ends off by, you know, says, therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Because Jesus is Lord over the Sabbath, he can tell us what you can do or what you can't do. Okay? So that's really something significant. Now let's go on to Hebrews 4, verse 9 to 11. And you can read with me. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And the important thing that I want to say to you is, And that kind of rest we're talking about. We talk at the beginning, we start off by saying, you know, resting is maybe to sleep, or maybe driving, just relaxing a bit, listening to music. Some people like to go for a jog, then they relax. A lot of us believe in different manners. But this rest that Scripture is talking about in Hebrews, that rest is in Jesus Christ. And that is that's basically the most important thing that I want to say to you this morning. This involves resting from the work that is committed to us at present, just as God did from His. Now that's not a resting from the activity that has been entrusted to us. You know, that doesn't refer to not going to work or not doing the thing that you do every day, if you're a doctor, not attending to your patients. There's a rest even inside of that, you know, and that rest is available 24/7, every day. You know, our bodies, we've got Saturdays and Sundays. Usually I do, being working on a Sunday, you'll notice that one of the announcements is that we here at Daniel, we've got a day off on a Friday. Now, Friday is actually my Sunday. That's my day that I'm supposed to rest, spend time with my family, you know, just sit back and chill a bit, if I can put it that way. And then Saturday is the day that we wash the cars and work in the garden and do those type of things. Okay, now the important thing about that rest, and I want to read it to you, is the image is rather one of freedom from toil and struggle, to enjoy with God the satisfaction and perfection of His work in creating and redeeming us. So that is what that is saying. That's a place, you know, you even go to work, you can do your day job, and there can actually be a place of rest in that. You know, that is sometimes, you take it on your shoulders, especially as men, sometimes to provide for our families. But you know, just to go to that place of rest, knowing if you give your best, and you work hard, and you're in the place where God leads you to, or you should be, you know, then God will provide for you, because He's a good God. He knows what we need. Now sometimes, we lay awake at night, or we stress about this, or we get worked up on things, but God actually wants us to enter a certain type of rest through faith, knowing that He is our provider, you know, and that is why it says, you know, to be at a place of freedom from toil and struggle. That place where we get so worked up. You know, one of you guys in church one time testified so wonderfully about his work situation, where he feels that, you know, it's just more than he can handle. But he knows that God has put him there, and this is where he should be. And the important thing is that if you know that you are at the right place, then God will also equip you to do the work. You know, then you will know from your heart that being there, God will enable you, you'll be able to handle it. And you can almost enter a rest to know and trust in God that He won't make a mistake like that. And that's really something that we should understand. The ultimate rest is in Jesus Christ. The Sabbath rest was never supposed to be a burden. It's from a place of good heart towards God. And we shouldn't strive, you know, to sometimes we do the same things as the Jews. You know, we point our fingers and say to the Jews, they make all these rules and regulations and all these things and that things. But you know, we make so many rules of our own sometimes to ourselves in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I remember that at a certain stage in my life, I told God, I'll never do this or that again. You know, and how long do you think I kept on the right track for that? I couldn't make it. You know, that's as the one person once said, you know, Christianity isn't easy. I'm going to get myself confused now, because I want to quote it correctly. Christianity isn't difficult, it's impossible. You cannot live in your own strength, but that is why there's grace. So that is usually when you tell God, I'll never ever smoke again. You know, there's a person or two sometimes who has told me they've you know, get to that place of getting that right. But usually when we tell ourselves, I'll never do that again, 6 months later, or a week later, or how many times, you know, we break those laws again that we make for ourselves. And then you feel so discouraged, you feel that burden is on your shoulders again, you disappointed God, you're not good enough, and usually the devil also likes to get into that deal, and you will just amplify what you think about yourself. But that's not what God wants for us. I want to read to you a part from Matthew Henry, Bible commentary regarding this passage, and I really feel it's so significant. As God finished His work, and then rested from it, so He will cause those who believe to finish their work and then to enjoy their rest, it is evident that there is a more spiritual and excellent Sabbath remaining for the people of God than that of the seventh day, or that into which Joshua led the Jews. This rest is a rest of grace and of comfort and of holiness in the gospel state, and a rest in glory where the people of God shall enjoy the end of their faith and the object of all their desire. You know, that thing, we're talking a lot about grace these days. And it's really just to know that that's why none of us can keep the Ten Commandments. We all fall short of the glory of God. And that is why if you tell yourself to be perfect human, a perfect husband, a perfect Christian, or a perfect son of God, you are going to fail yourself and you are going to fail God, because none of us can impress God by who we are, you know, by what we are doing or by not. You can't go to God and tell God, I've been a good Christian, I've been a good human this past week, I haven't sinned for 7 days. I can almost guarantee you're going to nose dive right after that. And that is why this thing that I want to share about this morning, about this place of rest, is really a place where we can tell ourselves to not try to be perfect as well. You know, always set the high standard for yourself and go for that. But as I said, in the works of Jesus Christ, you know, our freedom should be knowing what Jesus did for us. You know, when you talk about sin, for instance, all of us sin. All of us have probably sinned yesterday or will sin today or tomorrow, because none of us is holy according to God's standards. Now, when you do something wrong, then you can feel so easily, but as I said, you failed God or something like that. But there's grace. God has made provision. You know, as we think back of to that sermon of Pastor Fred last month, it's so significant to know that that provision has been made for us. We can actually just go as God's children, as sons of Jesus Christ and His daughters, just go to Him and say, "But God, I've messed it again, I've failed again, but thank you that you have provided for me through the blood of Jesus Christ, that I can be reconciled to God, that I didn't need to get the punishment that I deserve." Good. Now, the last scripture I want to read to you this morning is from Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now that in itself is almost already so much encouraging that I can almost stop writing. And the important thing that we should know is this is the end of Matthew 11. That part that I read before this of Jesus and his disciples walking through the grain fields, that is the start of Matthew 12. You see, but some Roman priest or early church father put in those chapter dividers. God didn't read exactly like this. So this is actually one story that you should read from the beginning to the end. And that Matthew 11 actually ended off by saying, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's inviting us to come to him, that the rest is in him. And then the next scenario that we get is where Jesus and his disciples is walking through the grain fields, and the Pharisees almost want to accuse them for doing something wrong on the Sabbath, which is supposed to be a rest. But what Jesus is saying here, through the things that he is the Son of Man and he's Lord over the Sabbath, and he can tell us what the Sabbath is, he's inviting us to come to him. So as we are facing those storms in life, the challenges that all of us do have, because I'm sure that none of us can say that there's nothing challenging in our lives, we are just on top of it, in charge and control of everything, and if you are at that place, that's a dangerous place to be, because, you know, we aren't in control, God is. So the important thing is, God is inviting us to rather get into a Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ than in that day. You understand what I say? That's the important thing. That we should rather come to Jesus than going on the Sabbath, sitting back, doing this or not doing that, and that being the fulfillment. The fulfillment is in Jesus Christ. And that is the thing, as we said last week, Jesus is inviting us all the time just to come to him. And that's what we are going to do right now, afterwards. I don't want any one of you guys to leave here with a burden you're carrying yourself. Because when we are carrying those things on our own, and we think we can this workout, then your problem won't come. Because, but when in your weakness you go to Jesus and you tell him, Father, I can't handle this. This speech or this work or this challenge that I face, it's too much for me. Maybe you have to go and do something and you just feel totally not adequate for it. Then you can go to Jesus and you can talk to your Father, our Heavenly Father, regarding that. Maybe there's a lot that we can say about the Sabbath, and this is really one of those interesting theological things that you can have a lot of sermons on. But just something, some of you might sit here and think, but how does it work? The Sabbath is part of the Ten Commandments. But you get ceremonial laws, you get moral laws, what's the other one? Ceremonial laws. Yeah, but the big thing is that the Sabbath was a ceremonial law. It was not a moral law. That is why the rest of the Ten Commandments, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal, don't go and do those things, please. But you're not supposed to keep the Sabbath, because from Matthew to Revelation, there's not one place that Jesus is giving us 10 rules or 20 to-dos or not to-dos for our Sabbath. And just by the way, we actually have it better because we've got the Saturday and the Sunday that most of us do not have to work. We only work 5 days, but they only have one day not to work because Sunday was their Monday. So don't moan too much, we've got 2 days, that's not too bad. Okay. Now the important thing is, if you are not in Jesus Christ, then you're going to feel that burning still of it. Then that burning of the law is still going to push down on you. And that's a heavy one. That's something, a burden that we can't bear. But when we are in Jesus Christ, it's easier. That provision is being made for us. Because then we're not resting in our own works. We are going to rest in His works. Jesus is coming and saying that we should rest in Him. If we rest, if we are in Christ, there's a 24/7 rest in which there is a Sabbath. Resting from your work, and you are then resting in your works that Jesus did for you. And that is in His perfection and in His righteousness. Because we can't try to be righteous on our own. We can't try to not sin or get things perfectly right. None of us can do that. But through Jesus, we can actually stand before God, and there's going to be no accusation between us. Because the blood of Christ has already dealt. And that is one of those places you should actually go like, you see? Because if we were to be punished according to our sins, we're not going to know. But Jesus, you're in our place. He was the ransom for us. Now this morning, I want you ready to stand with me this morning. I really want to ask you guys to close your eyes this morning. And I believe the Holy Spirit will, the worship team will also come up this morning. Afterwards, I really want to encourage you guys, if you feel you're carrying something, if you're feeling that you're trying to make something work and you're almost getting to a place where you can't sleep at night, or you really feel that your heart is beating so quick, you're really restless. You know, then I want you this morning to bring that to God. You know, not to carry that on your own shoulders, because you will probably not make it. You know, and then when we face that storm, you know, when we're looking and we see those waves outside of you, you think, but how am I going to make it? Maybe you're thinking in terms of finances, and you're really at a tough spot currently. And you think, but how can there be rest in this pastor? How will I make it? In this morning, I just want to invite you, because God can turn it around. Maybe there will not be a sculptor here at the front with a lot of money, but just bringing it to God and taking that yoke off yourself, you know, that will help you to find rest in Christ. And I just want to say again that the devil constantly wants to distract us. You know, that's his thing. He wants to get you to a place to focus on those challenges and not to bring, you know, yourself and your heart to Christ. And we also spoke about that place of a sound mind. You know, that's something I want to go back to. If you feel that you need to make decisions, and there's so many things just rushing through your mind when you go to bed at night, it's almost as if you can't switch off, you know, then I also want to invite you this morning that as we are going to start to worship right now, that you can just come and we would like to pray with you. So guys, this morning, I'm talking about the Sabbath, the way it was in the Old Testament and the way it's now. Jesus didn't say, do the same things and you'll find this. Jesus is saying, come to me and I will give you rest. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. The yoke was supposed to make a burden lighter, easier to carry. And I want to invite you this morning, as all eyes are closed, just for those of you in your own hand, if you feel that God is speaking to you this morning, if you feel that you're one of those people that I spoke of, can you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Amen. So as we're going to start worshiping now, I really want us to, for those of you who feel that are not in Jesus Christ at this stage, you feel you just can't get to that place at first, I want to encourage you, as the band is going to, as we're going to start to sing now, I really want to invite you to just come to the front, and then we would really like to pray with you. And if there's anyone in the house this morning, and you have never made a commitment in your life to serve Jesus Christ, if you have never made a commitment from your side to say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want you to be my Savior. If you know in your heart you haven't got to a place of relationship with Christ, I also want to invite you to come to the front, because Jesus is standing there and he's telling you, come to me, come to me. So if there's anyone like that afterwards, I also want to encourage you just to come to the front. And as we are going to start worshiping now, those people who raised your hands, please come to the front and then we would really like to.